This meeting is being recorded and posted on our website after the meeting. Once President Brooks asked me to call the roll, indicate you are here as well as give permission to record by verbally stating here, permission to record.
Okay, I call the November 16, 2021 regular board meeting of Glenville Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Rate 7:02. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Post?
Here.
Commissioner Schneider?
Here.
Mr. Spain?
Here. Permission to record.
President Brooks?
Here. Permission to record. All right, consent agenda items A through E are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda item? No. Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
Second.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Povey?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. It is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit comments to 3 minutes per person. Okay, I'll take that as a no, and we will move on to our first item on the agenda, action to presentation of the IPRA IAPD Community Service Award to Betsy Leeson. I am going to present the award, followed by comments from Chris Liner. Commissioners and staff may also comment if they so choose.
All right. Chris, you want to go up and just say a few words, and then we'll have Betsy walk come on up.
Well, first of all, this is long overdue. For those of you who know or don't know, we were meant to give this award to Betsy in March of 2020. So, as you know, the world changed dramatically in March of 2020. So, we're here to provide a little bit of recognition that's very long overdue to Betsy. I'm just going to read a few notes here that we've assembled in the board packet. So this award is in recognition of Betsy Leeson's outstanding ongoing volunteer contributions to the Glenville community. In Betsy's various roles with the Friends of the Green Bay Trail, she has dramatically improved the conditions of public lands throughout Glenville. Her continual drive to educate community members on the best practices for natural area management has been instrumental in paving the way for restoration initiatives and improvements throughout the community. Through these efforts, a strong partnership has developed between the Friends and the Glenville Park District, with the result being an improvement in the health of public lands throughout Glenville and an increase in the recreational opportunities available to the entire community. Betsy's talented and driven advocacy for sustainable land management and conservation has built a collective of like-minded individuals. This group will have a long-lasting impact on the quality of the environment and the parks here in Glenville for a generation. Betsy truly embodies the spirit of volunteerism by bringing her fellow residents together to improve the community as a whole. Thank you very much, Betsy.
You have to come up.
Where should I go?
You come right. We want to go right there in the middle.
Go right out there.
Yeah. Out there. And then Erin can take the picture.
Oh, great. Oh, look at that. I know.
Yeah. I am.
One more.
Hey, Betsy. My son was looking for an Eagle Scout project, Steve Schneider, years ago, and you helped him find a place for it. We met up in the Green Bay Trail. And then you contacted the park district and the village, and he finally put in this bicycle.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah, yeah. Right near the tennis course. But I was wondering if I could get a picture of you and me to send to him.
There you go.
Sure. Okay, that'd be great. Thank you very much.
I love it.
he's finished office.
He has, really?
Does he like the whole board, too?
Yeah!
Okay. Hey, all of us in here.
but it is what it is today without your leadership and support, and you're out there pulling the weeds.
Well, I say it wouldn't be the way it is without great partnerships, you know, like you guys. You guys are fantastic. You've done so much for us with helping with watering and killing stuff for us and all the hatchery around and a few other things that I really appreciate that you've done. And the village also has been a great asset. But, you know, I'm just a symbol for the friends and the many volunteers.
Well, I know you feel a lot of sweat and tears in that. I'm sure by your whole crew that you brought with. We usually don't get this many people to watch awards being given out, so this is awesome.
Well, thank you very much.
Unless they're complaining about something, which they're not.
Well, good time.
Betsy is like the sixth and unofficial member of the Parks Department.
Yeah. COVID happened, so we wanted to make sure we did it in person. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome to stay for the whole meeting. It's ripping.
There'll be a quiz at the end.
All right. Thank you.
To continue, although a hearing is not required by statute due to the fact that the levy increase was less than 5%, the district still chooses to hold this levy hearing. An appropriate public notice has been served. I declare a public hearing open to hear questions and comments on the levy ordinance.
So if anybody's here to talk about the levy, they can come right up to the podium.
Well, public hearing is now. Okay, on to approval of ordinance number 933, levying the taxes for the 2021 tax year, and I have a motion, recommended motion. I entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 933, levying the taxes for the 2021 year as presented.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. On to the financial report. 1 month of the fiscal year is complete. John will provide a synopsis of the report.
All right. Thank you, President Brooks. Good evening, everybody. So we'll just go over at a high level the results for October here. So starting with the rec department, we see that we are still, you know, within pre-pandemic levels, a little over $3 million as of 10/31/21 compared to $2.9 million as of 10/31/19. Variance increased from the prior month of about $190,000, mainly driven by basketball. That's the popular sport this time of year, accounting for about 35% of that increase month over month. Not much to speak to from an expenditure side of things. Daycare, again, remains very strong there. $223,000 increase from the prior month. Fitness remains relatively flat at a break-even point as of 10/31. Beach and boating, again, we're going to continue to see the expenses trickling in. Really the only revenue coming in now is the boat storage fees. So we still are projecting a surplus for the beach and boating department, and we'll be well over the projected deficit that we had budgeted for at the beginning of the year. So again, just great results for beach and boating. You will see some activity now for lots. Passes went on sale, I believe, right around mid-October, and saw some great activity the initial day that they did go on sale. So we see a slight difference from the prior year, $91,000 compared to $86,000. And the entire $75,000 increase from the prior month is all the passes that I mentioned. G&A, not much to speak to from that perspective, month over month, and the expenses, mainly salaries and insurance that are allocated out. Parks Department. From an expense side, there was some pavement work and some tree trimming work that made up a good chunk of that $113,000 increase in expenses. from the prior month. And again, the rec, admin, and take-up department, so we did continue to see second installment property taxes coming in the month of October. I think we're pretty close to collecting most of them at this point. So again, the difference between that $964,000 as of 10/31/20 and the $36,000 deficit as of the current year is the transfer not being made into Fund 9 as of this point, which was delayed due to COVID. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Comment
that
I still love the
month over month that you put in. So thank you for that. Okay.
Great, thanks.
Yeah,
the format is fantastic.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, if there is nothing, we will move on to the presentation of the Glencoe Lakefront Annual Report, and Bobby will present to us.
Good evening, everybody. It's that time of year, celebrating another very successful beach season at Glencoe Beach. Tonight, I'm going to review the 2021 operation. We're going to talk about beach closures. We're going to talk about some of the attendance stats, the financial survey results, and the feedback we received from our council. So looking back at 2021, staffing was a major area we focused on this year. We were back to our pre-pandemic staffing levels, which was over 50 staff, up from 33 the year before. 22 were returning, so that was a pretty good ratio to get back. We did see some issues in terms of getting staff this year, because we had such a small staff the previous year. So qualified staff is something we spent a lot of time training on. Each lifeguard went through at least 24 hours of pre-season training in addition to in-services throughout the season, and in addition to cashier training, leadership training, manager training, camp training, and boathouse training. So there's quite a lot of training going on pre-season. We did have three audits from Councilman Hunt Sacker this year, which was new, previously only one. Paderma received quite a lot of feedback from different agencies to make some significant changes to auditing going forward. There was a lot of issues with consistency and timeliness. Happy to report we did pass all three audits. We did express our frustrations with Paderma. They listened to some of the concerns about the quality of the audits. That's something we're looking to give them more feedback on next year and make sure that we get the services we need to keep our crew safe. As you all know, past sales were different this year. They were extremely high. We made some amendments to our past sales model. We allowed them daily fees Monday through Friday, and then we kept the passes only on Saturday, Sunday, and on holidays. I'll talk about that in a little bit. Our beach program, our very successful Sailing Aquatics Camp, grew by 50% this year. We expanded it. Our big challenges there, again, were getting qualified staff on the sailing side. That was something that we really spent some time on working with programs to make sure we get those. It's not easy to hire people with a lot of sailing experience. And then we made some changes to the water testing that most people don't know about. We moved water testing to evening tests instead of morning tests. We received a lot of feedback that they wish we could get the information out on closure sooner. So by getting it at 7 o'clock at night, we were able to post it the following day. So I think we're actually going to need beaches to do that now. So people now aren't turning up at 8:39 in the morning to find the water flows when you get the sound back. So that was a major improvement we saw. Talking about beach closures, this year we started off with a couple of high bacteria days, but as the season went on, we really didn't get that many. We saw a significant increase in high surf days compared to previous years, but overall the number of closures was down. So it was at 15 versus back in 2018, it was at 22. And most of those, like I said, were high surf. Just reviewing the pricing structure that we talked about with the board before we opened, we moved to simplify the pricing structure again. You can see here on the left in red, this is the new structure, over $35 a pass for residents, F70 for non-residents, versus kind of complexity you can see on the right. We like to think that that helps streamline and make it easier for our patrons to buy passes this year. We did allow over 65 school residents to get free passes and under 2s again. And then we upped our daily fee for residents to $10 and non-residents to $20. And used that ticket fee to process those daily admissions. So here you can see in the yellow, $402,000 in pass sales, which has significantly increased over the last number of years. Clearly, the model worked in COVID. The values there for pass holders, we sold 8,800 passes. Last year, we thought was good at 6,000 passes. We saw a significant increase in the number of non-residents buying passes this year. We did see about 1,000 additional resident passes purchased as well. So this is a model we clearly look to continue for the future post pandemic. Financially, it was incredible for the beach. 61% of all passes sold this year were to residents. That's down from around 70% in last year. This is a comparison of the daily visits, so this looks a little intimidating. So resident visits as a percentage were actually down due to the number of non-residents purchasing passes. So we're about 60% residents, 40% non-residents this past year, whereas 76% residents in COVID. The total number of visits, now this might look a little off, we had about 50,000 visits in the 2020 season. We were open longer during the day, but also longer during the season for an extra month. So that is some of the reasons we had additional visits. This summer we had about 30,000 visits. You can also see the breakdown of resident passes. We had 5,300 resident passes versus 3,400 non-residents. You can see that changes pretty significantly for the non-residents compared to 2020, so 1,600 non-resident passes. And then interestingly, the average visit per pass holder was down compared to the previous year because people were back at work, they weren't home as much. So we went from 7 to 9 average visits down to 3. Our guest pass utilization was pretty steady at somewhere between 25% and 30%. And then the interesting statistic was, based on the board's feedback, we gave an early bird discount of a free admission per pass. Just over 500 of those were redeemed, so it was about 10% of them were redeemed. So if it helped people sign up early, that was great, but we didn't see the redemption that we got from money. So go ahead with that. Busiest times, we were open at 10 o'clock instead of 9 this year, so that will give a little bit of a change there. But similar to the trends to what we've seen in the past, that 12-1 times really busy. The daily visits, Saturdays and Sundays continue to be busiest. We saw a drop on the Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays. Again, people were back at work. They weren't working from home as much. Saturday, Sunday flip-flop this year, probably just due to the weather. Sometimes Sunday's better, sometimes Saturday's better. But again, kind of similar trends to what we've seen in the past. Financially, this is the 5-year beach pass revenue trend. You can see that burgundy color, it's kind of taken off to the moon here in the last 2 years since we've had COVID and went to the pass holder model. We've seen the Northbrook reciprocal agreement go away, so you see that the zero in the far right bottom. And then guest passes exploded as well. We saw quite a large purchase. It almost tripled versus 2020. Overall, we went from $255,000 of revenue last year to $468,000. So we're pretty proud of the value that shows that our beach is worth. Revenue from dailies, clearly if we're selling more passes rather than doing less dailies, you're going to see a significant fall off. This year we did bring back the daily Monday through Fridays. We saw $58,000 in revenue versus previous years it was around $200,000. Overall, this is the beach financials, the yellowy color there. That's just showing the revenue. You see that kind of 45 degree angle for the change in the pass holder model. The blue or purple is the net surplus. You can see, obviously, in line with greater revenue. And then those expenses, you can see it going down a little bit as we saw some wage increases with minimum wage. We've had to make pretty significant increases in labor costs over the last number of years. On the boat side, the yellow again on the revenue side, pretty flat. Up this year because of our back to rentals on Canex paddleboards and sailboats. Daily, the storage fees went up 3% for residents, 6% for non-residents. And then again, on the expense side, we were back to our full operating time. So back to kind of 2019, 2018, in again, we're seeing a little bit of wage inflation on the Harbor Guards on the cap staff. Overall financial performance, very strong. The bottom line services here will be at the beach, the boat, and all of our programs in. Just a $300,000 surplus this year compared to a $7,000 loss last year. Again, mostly coming to that growth in programs with beach camps and our hospitals. Survey, very interesting. If you look at 2021 on the far right, it kind of follows the theme for the last number of years, take the 2020 year out. We're kind of going in that positive direction. Last year, we were the only place in town. People were so happy coming to the beach, so we were ecstatic in the survey. The other thing to note in the survey, we had almost 500 people completed. A third of those were non-residents, which we didn't see in the 2020 survey. So a lot of the goods were about pricing. So they were frustrated with the pricing. They're also frustrated that the Northbrook agreements, they didn't have that anymore. So that accounts for a little bit of the dip as well. But overall, the results were very happy. Value for the past, again, the 80% for excellent and good, similar to previous years. Looking overall at the facilities, the staff, the responsiveness, safety, all high marks again. The cleanliness of the facilities, again, we're noticing a little bit lower than normal. The facility, you're starting to see a little bit run down, a little bit dated. You're starting to see the tile work. You're starting to see the building need a little bit of TLC. So we were getting comments about that. We know that. We've been discussing that, about how to freshen that up. Compared to previous years, this is the one that I think was a great benchmark. 26% to 27% said it was better than last year. 44% said it's the same, and then that 9% said not as good. So that tells me we're going in the right direction. We've asked people about how they liked our structure in terms of weekdays, weekends, and pass holders. 85% like the change this year, so that's pretty resounding. We said we're assessing options for next year, and if they like the weekend admission for season pass holders only, and daily admissions during the weekday, and 73% said yes. A lot of the people on the preferred not were non-residents, so the majority of residents were in favor of that. It opens up to any questions.
So that survey was only about pass holders, and not about
it wasn't got to do with CAP, no.
Was there any survey about the beach camp?
Yes, yeah, so that was part of the CAP survey.
Okay, I'll look back at that one.
Yeah, so there wasn't many people filled it out, believe it or not. You can separate it, it was probably less than 30 people.
That filled it out.
What was that?
That filled it out.
That filled it out from sailing aquatics camp.
Okay, and then the senior discount, or the senior's free, did you start that this year or last year?
This year.
Yeah. I don't know if you did something like that. I was just wondering the difference in. There's a lot of factors of why there's less residents passing this year. But I'm wondering if that's part of it.
It was more.
Because we were able to let. Last year we limited how many passes were sold, so you didn't sell as many non residents.
Yeah, wait, but.
Okay. It's a
I'm sorry, I don't know this. I should know this. Is it senior non-residents is free as well?
It is not.
No.
So it's just residents.
Got it. Okay.
And when we sold a lot of those senior residents, what guest passes for family who were coming to town. So I think it's just over 100. So just over 100 we gave away. Just over 100 senior resident passes. Okay. But the revenue for guest passes was significant.
Yeah. So that would change.
I have just one question on math that didn't make sense to me as I was reading this today. The staff numbers, are there overlapping staff that doesn't have it?
Okay. So they're cross-trained.
Thank you.
So it's actually unique staff. So the
number is 55 and you've got like a bunch of staff like 70.
Yeah, so we might have 55 staff with 30 in the lifeguard this year or 25 in the last year.
Okay.
So it's hard since they are all cross-trained. That's a requirement in place of such staff shortages. Especially in the shoulder seasons when people go back to school. That's when we weren't able to have some lifeguards that we would have.
Perfect. Thank you.
It was
a comprehensive report.
Okay. Any additional questions?
Matt couldn't be here tonight, but he did, him and Bobby did an excellent job running the beach and the voting beach. Kudos to them. I always say if we get through a season without any catastrophic injury or any lifeguarding or safety events, we did good. So they did good. So it was a very successful, safe season. We continue this. This year was interesting because the lake was a little bit down compared to the previous years when we had rising water. So we'll continue to watch that and see how that evolves. So we did much better than other park districts as far as our lifeguards because we were open in 2020. We had some staff that were around last year. Other pools, when they weren't open at all, had a really hard time hiring and training staff in time. So we had a little bit of that, but because we had less staff last year, but Bobby and Matt did a great job with the training effort. So kudos to them and the parks team for the beautiful facility. So I don't know if you've seen, you've gone out to the beach, but the railings are in on the stairway now, and it looks fantastic. So if you have a chance, go check that out.
If I could, I just wanted to make a comment on Appendix C, the pricing comparisons. Except I don't quite know what to make of it because I look at you know, our closest neighbor, Winnetka. Just really interesting individual pass price versus a family pass. Family pass seems to be trying to track with Glencoe, but just a tiny bit under, that would be my guess. And but the individual pass is so much higher. It's just a strange. It's just strange. The pricing is just strange.
That's why we moved away from that model. Various different reasons.
Yeah, but we're certainly continue to be comparatively a good value. For our residents, most especially, who we serve. So very good. Thank you. Thank you, Bob. If there's nothing else. We will move on to the executive director report. Ms. Shepherd will review items.
Excellent. Well, the first thing I want to bring up is that we are, like the rest of the nation, we do have a staff shortage going on, specifically in our ELC department, early childhood school and half-day preschool, and some other areas. But I can tell you it would be much worse if we had laid off a lot of our staff, we probably would not be open right now. So I just want to make you aware of that. And we know it's frustrating for our participants, even though we did a survey, which we'll show you later after we have our parent meeting. Majority of our parents are very satisfied with our program. Despite the challenges that we have, our staff that we do have are doing an amazing job and stepping up and helping in all different areas, as are all our rec team in this area. So if there's challenging things like we'll interview, you know, five people, offer someone a job and they'll never show up, or we'll schedule interviews and no one ever shows up. So we've never seen this in my, you know, 30-some years. We've never seen it this bad, so it's very interesting. Bobby was telling me today, I'm like, okay, what are we doing for recruiting? And do you want to tell them a little bit about how we're doing different a little bit for the recruiting for that?
Sure, so our coordinators at Children's Circle are actually directly messaging people 2 hours a day on care.com and on LinkedIn. Really, that's the only way we're getting traction right now. We haven't got any responses to ads on Indeed, which is where we used to traditionally. So we're just basically going directly to the source and looking where people are working and directly messaging them. It's got that tricky to hire. So we posted on Facebook, on our website, on Nextdoor, referral bonuses, retention bonuses. We're calling it family, friends. We're trying to do everything we can. It's really hard right now. So
it's important to know in the industry why 125,000 people or former child care workers have left the industry.
This year alone.
So those are staggering numbers. And as you can imagine, you know, when you're working in that environment, COVID's going to be here for a while. Those younger kids aren't getting vaccinated. So, you know, some of those things are taken into account, the vaccine mandates and things like that, with us having having a hard time attracting people. But what I like to say, though, is the national average for childcare, which is sad, but it's $12.33 is the national average hourly wage. We start for our part-time assistance at $16. So we are paying, obviously, way higher than the national average. So that alone is not, you know, like the answer is not to keep on raising our salaries. So we have that fine mix of looking at referral bonuses, retention bonuses, our wages, our benefits, and then also at the same time keeping the program affordable. So as I talked about at our committee, we'll be circling back around to give you a more comprehensive daycare full day and half day report. It's just not our focus right now. Bobby is working every morning down in the ELC wing, sitting in Amanda's desk until we replace that manager position. We are so highly regarded in the daycare business that other park districts are stealing our staff. So it's just, they have a chance to go, ooh, a Glencoe person, we're going to take them. So Bobby's tied up with really direct hands-on programming in that area, and John is really working on the budget. So we'll be giving you a comprehensive report, so just ask for your patience with that. So, all right, any questions about that? All right, IPRA conference is coming up. They are indicating they're having it in person. They're still working out all the details with that. If any board members would like to go, it is one of the best learning opportunities for commissioners and staff. We won't be sending the whole contingent of staff this year. We're scaling that backlog depending on some of the managers' ages of their younger children. But if you would like to go, just let me know, even if it's for a day, Friday or Saturday. We'll be happy to sign you up. John and I attended the legal symposium. Actually, it wasn't virtual. We attended in person. That's a really good day, learning all about new regulations, new laws, lawsuits, significant court decisions. We always take little tidbits and bring them back here to our operations. Tom McDonald, he's been a horticulturist for how many, 24 years?
Yep.
He has decided to retire, which is, we're so happy for him because he's worked so hard and worked his whole career outside. So he's going to look to move on, and we'll continue to look at our parks operations, and Chris will be bringing back plans as we move forward, as we're making some changes in that department too. So we are going to have a staff commissioners, we hope you all attend, holiday gathering on Friday, December 10th. Because COVID's still alive and well, we're scaling that back. We're doing a gift of, don't tell anybody, no one's here. We're going to give the staff all GPD Yetis, and then have a bonfire and s'mores and some drinks if people wanted that I'm providing. And so we hope that you come. We're going to do it right out here outside. And if it's really bad, then we'll move spread out with face masks and everything like that. So we're hoping to have it outside. So the team, employee appreciation team, is really creative on this one. So thank you, thank you.
Flannel,
right? You're supposed to wear flannel.
Okay, I have one flannel shirt.
It could be a scarf.
It could be a scarf too.
Or a hat.
I have one flannel shirt.
Okay.
You
have
a coat
over
it. I'm on the front.
Very cute. So we're also doing a food drive at the same time for that. So if people, if a staff bring in food, they need to be added to another raffle for a giveaway. So we've talked about a lot of the finance stuff already. So I won't have anything to add to that. I'm just trying to pick out. Probably the biggest thing we're working on right now is WAT. Is scheduled to open next Friday, not this Friday, Friday after Thanksgiving. Currently, we have 1,212 passes sold. Out of that are 115 non-residents. I believe, Chris, did they start up the rink today?
Correct.
So they have started to freeze and start making ice. So we're excited about that. Chris or Bob, do you have anything to add about WAS operations?
Other than all the trees and logs that leave, which is usually the fall and making ice, they get stuck. So that's a positive.
Oh, that is a positive. I didn't think of that.
Yeah,
it always happens. They start doing the ice and all of a sudden the leaves fall on it. And it's really a hassle. So, yeah.
We're also very excited that we were able to secure a vendor to come in and install free LED lights and replace the existing sports field lighting.
Oh, very cool.
So we were able to connect with a longtime Glencoe resident who works for a lighting company who was able to secure the lights for us at no cost to the taxpayers,
wow,
including the installation. So we have new LED lights at the Watts facility. So it's very exciting.
Just outside
the outdoor rink lights. So the rink lights were previous to this were metal halide bulbs, which are very energy inefficient. So now they're LED, which is really great for us.
Okay, same light fixtures, but there's
new, same poles, new fixtures.
Right. Okay. Great.
Did the resident make the donation, or they got?
They got their company to do it.
Well, if there's anyone we can thank, yes, let us know. Probably. Okay.
Really, other than that, we had a lot of great special events in the month of October and coming into November. So staff has been working hard on that. So any other questions?
Very quickly, you did mention that, of course, this is true. If there's staff shortages, those who are working are taking on a greater burden. Is there anything you can think of that can be done for them as a thank you? I don't know. Lunch brought in, or anything to acknowledge.
We did actually. We gave all staff a paid day the day after Thanksgiving. They can either use it as a benefit time later on, or full time, or staff. So all of our children's circle, we closed children's circle that they get paid. So we did that for them.
That's
so that's substantial.
Sure, substantial. Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah.
And we also do a small holiday gift.
Okay.
In addition to the Yeti, the little cash holiday gift. So we'll continue to do that also.
Are you hearing anything from the school districts about COVID cases? How are the COVID cases here? I know they've been rising at the school. I'm sure they're talking about it.
Yeah. We talk all of it. Bobby from school talk all the time on that. So you want to give Stephanie an update?
Sure. So if you were in any of the programs, we get told immediately for contact tracing purposes, and we talk to the health department. Locally, because masks are required and all of the participants are sitting 3 feet apart, there's been no close contact, so we haven't had to close any of those, but we have had probably a dozen in the last month or so positive cases in programs. But according to the health department, we're all good, we haven't had to close. The school is doing an incredible job, and they're keeping us well informed of what's going on.
There's so much
uptake. They're doing that.
And I've heard some acting out in some of the classes. I've been hearing a little bit more of that. And it's cool. There's been a lot of acting out.
I think it's just the feedback.
We're seeing that in preschool too, with some of the half-day preschool kiddos. They're not used to socialization. They're not used to the structure.
Yeah.
So it's been an adjustment.
The home life is different than it normally would be because of work from home and all these other things going on. Yeah.
A lot of our administrative staff is volunteering at the vaccine clinic next week to help. Get that moved along. The more children get vaccinated, the better it is for all of us, including in our programs too. So
I know a lot of
the
Bloomberg kids are very vaccinated.
I know.
Because during '5, we're all really excited.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And I know the teachers were excited when they have this. I was in one of the rooms. I remember which room I was in. They're like, our kids are going to be vaccinated. We can't ask, but they come and tell us. So they're very excited about that too. Yeah, the kids are excited. And
then the next one will be about masks and camps. And I've already heard stuff about that, and camps talking about it. Yeah,
it's really way too early. It's only November. Camp starts in June. I'm hoping this whole thing is over by then.
Okay.
I can be optimistic, right? So.
Well, camp registration does start next month.
It does. Yeah. We will not make any declaration of what is happening with math in that.
So we follow state and local guidelines.
Yep.
Erin, will the photographs in your marketing materials be masked children or unmasked children?
Oh,
yes.
There is one.
Okay. Aren't you excited to see this again, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you coming back?
Yeah. They like the catalog.
They really do. Yeah.
Everybody likes it. Sorry, Erin.
They do. It's funny because this is a great test because we went without it so long that people still want it.
I know. And I thought this was going to be the end of it.
I did too, but no.
Some park districts aren't, and I think they're going to see their numbers be affected by that. So
another thing we learned from the pandemic.
I was thinking we had the reason. And so we like it to tap pages and we do this. Mm-hmm. I was thinking if you were to send out a postcard, like a card stock that had like a registration worksheet that people could look online, write down their numbers, and then add that next to them, add it there being registered. We literally like open the book, okay, this is the page we're talking to, here are the numbers that you need. Something, I think there used to be some sort of.
Almost like a mini golf scorecard?
Almost like a mini golf scorecard.
Not bad, yeah.
You know, you can test it out, see if it.
We needed that about, 3 months ago.
let's say, after the secret to my successes.
What's the
plan?
I know a lot of parents have been asking me when the brochure's going out. So
I'm literally proofing it right now.
Yeah,
No.
We don't like to commit to it.
Are you trying to get them out at the same week?
No.
It's interesting because you're trying to figure out, like, just like a program.
Not everybody, is willing to give that information.
Yeah. You also don't want to commit to a day because the post office, they're kind of hard to predict. So we're working on it. We're getting there.
Okay. Lisa, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
We will move to action items. I entertain a motion to approve the whistleblower protection policy procedures as presented.
So moved.
Second.
All right.
Is there any discussion? Interesting. So, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Boren?
Yes.
Mr. Covey?
Yes.
Mr. Schneider?
Yes.
Mr. Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve resolution number 934, include cash payments related to health insurance as IMR and burn
off.
Okay, is there any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Mr. Povey?
Yes.
Mr. Schneider?
Yes.
Mr. Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes.
This is the exciting one. We have to talk about this one first.
Okay, so we're going to talk first.
Just really quick. So every year at the IPRA IAP conference, there's IAPD annual meeting. And IAP obviously is the commissioner organization. And so they have a meeting and we have to present delegates. So you have to approve who is going to represent the Park District at that meeting. You could select me to represent the Park District if you'd like, and you could select Chris as alternate if you would like. He drove the short straw as alternate. Could I not be able to make it? But if any of you have a burning desire to go to that, we welcome you to go also. So just put that out there.
Does anyone have a better idea?
Unless you guys drive down to together, is it when you guys drive down to?
We stay overnight.
Stay overnight?
We're already there.
Yeah.
Have fun, you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for representing us well.
Where do you go? Springfield?
No, this one is Hilton. Hyatt.
Oh, it's
Hyatt
downtown.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Okay. I like the sound of that, so I entertain a motion to approve Lisa Shepherd and alternate Chris Liner as Glencoe Park District delegates for the 2022 IAPD annual meeting as presented.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Very good. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
Doesn't you, if you end up going to conference that day, doesn't mean you can't attend.
Thank you.
Same.
Second, hear Carol's laughter.
I know, you can't.
So, other business, Lisa Shepherd, do you have any other
business? I have no other business.
Okay, so I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Yes. President Bush?
Yes. Motion passed. Commissioner
Spade,
did I get
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. What time is it?